Am I late? You start at seven or seven thirty?
Seven thirty.
Seven thirty.
Even doctor? I'm probably taking this to.
No, it's not.
Tricia?
Yeah.
Hey, good evening, Patricia. How are you?
Good.
It's seven thirty. I'd like to call the, to order the Board of Zoning Appeals for Fluvana County. And I'll start out by introducing the board. Mr. Loving, Patricia Eager, and Peter Von Geesling. My name is Harold Morris, I'm the chairman. The other board member is present, but not on the board, sitting on the board today. It's Carol Walker. Let's approve the minutes from the last meeting. Anybody has a question?
I do have one edit on the top of each page. The header is incorrect. It says Board Zoning Appeals, January sixth, 2009. So I'm sure that's just a formatting matter. I do that every day. I think the second matter we should address before we take action on the minutes is the question Mr. Mullins raised with regards to the sufficiency of the minutes. Now, I would say this, and this is in no way a motion, I think the minutes that we've got capture the essence of our discussion. And all due respect to Mr. Mullins, I think it's important that whatever recording of the minutes is maintained verbatim and conveyed as part of the minutes for any subsequent hearings that need to be heard in this matter.
I would agree with that. And we do have those.
So, based on that, I would make a motion that we approve the minutes as they're written with the condition that any recording be included with the minutes themselves for any subsequent necessary legal actions.
You could add that as just a footnote to all the minutes that the recording, the full recording's available on file, and I think that would cover the basis. Would that satisfy you, Mr. Mullins?
Yes, sir, thank you. And just for the record, I would note that there's been a court reporter present at least for the last three. Thank you.
I right, so you made a motion.
I've moved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are here again. We'll have a hearing on BZA 1402. Do we want to do both of these together or just separately?
Separately.
Separately.
You should certainly take action separately.
Okay, we'll do BZA 1402, and we'll ask you to go ahead. Do you want to make any statement before we start?
No. I was not clear at the last meeting what the board intended when it deferred the matter. My sense was the board simply deferred it to review the materials it had and consider the what it had heard, and then we're simply going to discuss the matter itself and decide it one way or the other.
I think that's exactly what the intent of it.
I'm perfectly happy with that. If the board has questions for the county or wants to hear from me further, I'm not sure why you would want to do that, but if you want to, I'll be glad to try to answer anything you might have.
Great. Do you have a feeling you said enough? I'm teasing.
Dr. Black-Heisley, I said before you came in, I'm not one of those lawyers that likes to hear himself talk. So I'm perfectly happy with the way these things are.
Super.
Before you start, I will mention that the doctor here has written a consideration for the cases. Has everybody got a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a question about it?
Did you get a copy of that?
No. I have a copy.
No, sir.
All right. Then we need to correct that.
Oh, I see.
Mr. Chair, while we take a look at this, I have the letter dated February 6th and the letter dated February 10th. I believe the board's received it, and I'd like to have it made part of the record, if I could, please.
That's fine. I think everybody does have a copy of this letter.
I'm assuming my February 9 letters will be in the record as well.
Yes. It's all here. I'll give you a couple of minutes to read that over.
Thank you, sir.
I'm doing a lot of reading. You've already said
it's been good weather for that.
Yeah, you probably have too.
Yeah, I think 15 books since the beginning of
middle
of January. I can't work outdoors and I read. Mostly mysteries. Nothing really out of line.
Chance to review the Mr. Von Kieserling's comments. I assume they'll be made part of the record as well.
They are.
I certainly have no reason to object to the resolution on the A1 property. With regards to the B1 property, I would object to that resolution, but simply for the reasons.
We're not there yet.
Okay, A1?
A1.
Can I address can I address a procedural question to
yes,
you, Mr.
Right.
Chairman? And really, this is really for the members of the board. We've heard opposing counsels take us down the path of collateral estoppel. Thank you for the legal education I received on that. We are not necessarily bound by the legal counsel of the county's attorney in this case. So I guess my question is, do members of the board feel uncomfortable with us going forward, given what we've heard from opposing counsel, that we should seek outside counsel before we move forward? And that's a question primarily for you as a chair and the other members if they care to comment.
I don't see that as a necessity given the definitions we've had. I think it's clear.
Okay.
I think I would agree with that. This board can actually make decisions just like a judge can. And we can be sued just like any other court can be. So whatever decision that we make, it's a decision that has to be a decision made by the board, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in relation to anything anybody else has proposed before us. We're kind of autonomous in that relation, I believe. Does anybody want to comment on that? Or do you feel that way?
Other than double jeopardy.
Well, certainly at that point we will need legal counsel, but
that's true.
The practical matter, and I guess really let's be as practical as we can here, is that whether we agree to suspend the debate now around collateral estoppel or we proceed, the likelihood that the matter ends up in circuit court on appeal is high anyway.
I would agree.
So, frankly, if we don't act, we're abdicating some responsibility to this county and to the appellate.
Mr. Chairman, one thing in regard to Mr. Loving's comment, the General Assembly has finally gotten around to doing something they should have done a long time ago, and that is they've amended the statute on appeals, and this board is no longer a party defendant in an appeal. You're in the position where you always should have been, and that is you're like a lower court whose decision is appealed to the circuit court. You simply send your record out and let it be reviewed, and the parties are the ones whose interest is affected. So if you're worried about getting sued, you don't get sued anymore. Nominally, you used to, you don't anymore.
Thank you.
And this board has been sued.
Certainly.
Well, I don't bring that issue up around the issue of suit. To me, it's more an issue of process and are we doing the right thing?
I'm very sympathetic to you. I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals one time, and because I was a lawyer, I ended up being the board's lawyer.
Right.
And it was an odd position to be in because of that. The board didn't really have an interest in the subject matter. It was simply the body that had decided the case.
Well, you know, in conversation, I'd heard Mr. Mullen say, Fred, or Mr. Payne, you're not advising the board. And that's correct. That's exactly right. And that's part of the concern I have because I don't, and you haven't served as an county attorney, know what kind of thin ice you can put yourself and this BZA on if you start straying into that area. That's why if we get into something like that, I think it's wise for us to get our own counsel, frankly. All due respect to you, Mr. Payne.
That's what the statute says.
And that becomes part of due process for the appellate, too, frankly.
So do you think we should have our own counsel before we make a decision on this tonight?
Not from what I've heard from my colleagues and you. Let's proceed. Okay.
Do you have additional information, Mr. Mullen, you'd like to present, or can we go ahead with dealing with this A1 issue?
I do not, sir. I trust your judgment.
Okay. Well, I have made my recommendation in writing to you all in terms of how I have considered A1, and so I would make a motion that we adopt that recommendation as written in the pages, and it will require you all to decide to second it if you wish to, and then we can put it to a vote. Do you want me to read that out? Is that helpful to anybody?
Yeah, and I'd like for you, if you would, to take us through some of your thought process behind it.
Okay.
Because frankly, I think it may generate some conversation on the board.
All right. Let me read you the recommendation, then we'll go back through the thought process. Based on those considerations, I think that we should not uphold the cited violations. Or, if it's possible, have the zoning administrator withdraw the citation. As I recommend that the complaint be referred back to the court for resolution, and my reasoning behind that is that this issue was created by the court for all intents and purposes in their decision about forcing an easement, about the restrictions on the use of the property, etc. And so it isn't really a zoning issue per se, and the application of the items of the zoning ordinance that are cited in the citation are vague in the sense that they are difficult to say conclusively one way or the other that it is. And so I think being vague, one has to decide in favor of the appellate. And I think that we should not uphold the citation, but we should refer it back and let the parties involved resolve it through the court system where it all started. And that's my recommendation for a resolution of this.
Isn't it true, though, that the court has already made a decision on this?
The court has made a decision as to how that the easement would be granted and that it was limited to certain things. And if the court orders aren't being implemented or upheld, that's an issue for the court to decide. It's not a zoning issue. The court didn't make a zoning ordinance. The court only made a court legal decision of how the easement would be used. And that's not a zoning issue. And I don't think that we as a BZA should be dealing with issues that are not specifically zoning in the zoning ordinance. So all of this was created not by the zoning ordinance, and there's been an attempt to use the zoning ordinances to address the situation, which is simply a stretch. And I don't think that we ought to be in the middle of it. I think it ought to be in the court's pocket and let them decide how they want to deal with what they created. So does that explain my thought process enough for you?
Yep. Well, I think I would disagree with you from the standpoint that it is a zoning situation that we have, even though it may have been created by the courts. But it still has landed in our lap. You know, so we've got to make a decision.
Okay, and my decision is that we do not uphold the citation because to apply the definitions as presented, it's a stretch. Because there was no commercial activity, and the ordinance is definitely written with the implication of commercial activity. And if you want to get back into an argument of whether there's farming going on or not, at least in the mind of the owner, he is engaged in forestry, which comes under the same general heading in terms of what you might call rights that come along with the property. So I just don't see how we can make this a zoning issue properly without setting a precedent for then every other piece of property in the county that happens to be part of a farm but a parcel that the residence is on to be treated separately, and then have people be able to say, you didn't clean up your property, you weren't nice, or you did this, or you did that. I think you just opened up a can of worms that was not intended by the zoning ordinance.
I agree with you.
believe that to single out one parcel, one property owner, that it could potentially be infringe on other people's rights. You can't treat people differently. Either everybody has to clean up their barnyards or not.
No, please.
But
I think it sets a precedent, and I think
that's the
part of it
about.
That makes me really nervous about having that then become a precedent in the county zoning.
And I wish that it didn't have to come to before us, and that the people involved could work it out, or the community help in some way, help ready it up, make it look neater. But many of the things on the property are related to farming, gates and equipment, tractors, and there was something there, I forgot what it was called. Well, I didn't know it was clay, but it was a teepee. Anyway, I don't want to go on with this, but I just think that in this case, it would be a hard to say that you can't put these things on this property.
Let me take a crack at it, Mr. Chairman. There's two different issues, okay? There's the issue around the definitions, okay? And all due respect, I think before we had the benefit of some emails, I think probably there was a couple of us who felt like we were on a little thin ice to start with. And I heard that in our discussions that we've had, that we were concerned about definitionally where some of this was pointless. And when you read some of the email that was provided through Freedom of Information, it gives us even, frankly, even thinner ice to go out on it. And I think that would be inappropriate for us to address it in that regard. So what I've heard from at least two of us here is I think we would concur on that matter. The issue around the A1 use and the by right uses for me, and if any of you that were here for the last meeting know that was really the issue that I focused on most, because of what I do, but also because of the importance of that to a lot of landowners in this county, some of which are here tonight. And when you really start going down the path of agriculture and really testing whether or not agriculture is being practiced, if you look at the basic fundamentals of agriculture, there's no hay being baled, there's no cows on the property and all that, okay? And you can stop right there and say that's the end of it. But that wouldn't be fair to the appellant, because in all due respect, there are definitions, and I'm gonna read you one, that give me pause for concern when I start going down the path of saying he has no rights under A1, under by rights. So you have the agriculture one. And within agriculture, aquaculture in the Commonwealth is not there, but in the Code of Fluvanna it is. And he's built a pond on the property, and he's acquired permits from DGIF. And I asked if he had any receipts from the sale of anything from the property. I don't even know that's material at this point. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you apply the strict rule of the county's definition, you could say that qualifies. And then the other things that are listed under by right under 22-4.2.1 are conservation areas, equestrian facilities, farm sales, hunt clubs, hunting preserves. Well, the evidence we've got, we can rule several of them out, okay? But the one I end up looking at is the conservation areas. Because when you start looking at that, the county's definition itself gives a rather broad latitude to a property owner to practice conservation. So for instance, any parcel or area of substantially undeveloped land conserved in its natural state to preserve or protect endangered species, critical environmental features, view sheds, or other natural elements, etc. You apply that definition to the majority of the property that the appellant owns in the Union Mills area, and it meets that test. And the generality of that definition gives this board the latitude to say it meets that. And that's all we can do. We can't go outside the bounds of what the county's code says. We have personal issues, and some of us aired those in the last meeting about that. And some of that was probably off the reservation. But when you strictly look at the county's code and apply these tests, I have to agree with my colleagues that he's within his latitudes doing that. And I regret it too, because frankly, a lot of this goes back to a civil matter, unfortunately.
Any other discussion?
I'd like to call for a vote.
May I, just to clear the record, did I understand that Dr. Von Kaiserling was making a motion?
Yes.
Okay, then you will need a second.
Okay, isn't that one second?
Peter, let me redirect you on something, if
okay.
I might.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Make sure I understand what you're saying. When you say this, you are essentially modifying. You're not reversing zoning administrator's position, and you're not affirming it. You're modifying it with what we say here, right? Or are we essentially taking the position?
I'm taking the position that we see no violation as cited, and therefore we have two choices. We can ask the zoning administrator if he's willing to withdraw it. If he is, then that issue is taken care of. If he doesn't feel he's free to do that, then we can say that we don't uphold that citation and reverse it, but that we feel the resolution to this issue is through the courts, not through BZA. You might have a better way to say it than I said it.
I guess my question at this point, and it kind of goes back to the whole estoppel issue, are we abdicating our responsibility in that sort of motion by not, in some respects, and look, don't take this wrong, but my sense is we're not taking any kind of stand whatsoever on the issue.
Well, we're taking a stand that we don't think that there is a violation according to code by the definitions you cited and the ones that I put in there as, you know, by right activities for this thing. So in that sense, we are doing what BZA is supposed to do. We're taking a look at the administrator's ruling, say we agree or disagree. And so if the administrator, and I guess we could ask you that question, would you be willing under this basis to withdraw the violation and let it seek other avenues of resolution? Or would you like us to simply say we don't uphold your citation and then let it take its course? Which is best for you?
The administrator's preference is for you all to make a decision on the determination.
Okay, then I would modify that to say I think we should not uphold the cited violation, and that in our opinion it's a court matter.
Reversal is the language that the court uses.
The statute says, in exercising its powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or in part, or may modify an order, requirement, decision, or determination appealed from.
Okay. So proper language would be that I make a motion that we reverse the, what do you call this thing?
Citation?
Determination.
Determination. And that we feel the matter should be referred back to the courts who created the situation.
Well, if you do that, we haven't done anything.
Yeah, we have. We've reversed. We've done exactly what we're supposed to do, either affirm or we reverse. In this case, I'm making motion to reverse.
No, I don't think so.
If we reverse, it's not going back down.
That's right.
It's going to the circuit court if the county chooses to appeal it.
BZA is charged with either supporting the decision of the administrator or reversing it. Right? Am I correct? I'm saying we reverse it because we don't think that the grounds that have been presented support a violation. That, as you said, it's by right for them to do this, et cetera. So I'm saying we reverse it. What goes on from here is whatever they choose to go on with. But it's, and our recommendation simply is that it needs to go back to the court and created it.
But I don't think we need to mention that part.
Okay.
All.
If you want to not have that in there, that's fine.
I think we need to leave, if, with your motion, I think we need to leave that out completely.
I'm happy to make it simply that we reverse the determination.
Let me suggest some clarity, Mr. Chairman, too, around it. That
please.
The reversal is built around the basis of questions we have with regards to definitions in 22-22-1.
That's fine.
And again, part of the concern is that when we had the benefit of reading some of the county correspondence, there was things within the county's correspondence that gave, I think, all of us pause for concern. That if we acted on something that was being discussed between county attorney and the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, and we walked out on that ice, we had set this board up, all due respect for a circuit court appeal. And the county chooses to pursue it, it's up to the county at this point. So
let's have your motion as corrected.
My motion is that we reverse the determination of the zoning administrator for this particular case of 1402.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that. Excuse me, you want the added to the motion with the reference to the zoning?
I don't think it's necessary.
I don't think it's necessary.
All right, can I second your motion, Mr. Dr. Kaiser?
Peter's fine.
Peter?
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The record needs to show what the vote was. So if you could just summarize what the vote was, Mr. Chairman.
The vote is 4-1, 4-0.
No nays and no abstentions.
Now, I would like to mention one thing. Since we have gone against the Board of Zoning, we need for Mr. Sherrill to do as much as he can to clean that property up, just so it looks good to everybody, including his neighbors, if that's possible. He's been doing this since 2012, and in almost 3 years, I believe he's had a chance to clean it up to where it would be presentable. That's just a comment I'm going to make. It's not a...
Understood, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments?
I would second that. Unfortunately, a lot of this turns on issues between neighbors that becomes, frankly, a civil matter. I would like to thank the appellant for action that has been taken since our last hearing with regards to conversations we had as far as exposed buckets and barrels and so forth, and encourage him to continue to do more in that regard, because I had a very lengthy conversation with one particular neighbor who had a very bad groundwater situation on another property in Albemarle. And frankly, she was terribly concerned about that very issue that we discussed. And so, again, part of the property serves conservation areas in this county, but you don't want 1 acre of exposed something to compromise any of that. So.
And we did have a letter to that effect for one of the adjacent property owners that were concerned with what was on the property that could contaminate the water system.
Mm-hmm.
we certainly are thankful for the action that's been taken, Mr. Sherrill. Hope you continue.
I would also like to bring attention to the, for you, Mr. Sherrill, in the back of the property is a hand-dug well that is opened, and you could just put something over it so that animals or people don't fall into it. I know that people aren't supposed to be there, but you never know.
It still happens.
It's caused me to think it was a danger.
I agree.
Thank you.
Anybody have any comments? Mr. Payne?
No, sir.
Any comments?
No, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we will now go to the second property, which is BZA 1403. And here we have another consideration by Dr. Gibson. And now, why don't we start with that?
Well, it seems that the issue probably resolves more around the proffers in the rezoning request than simply definitions of our zoning code. And Mr. Sherrill says that a good portion of what was stored there is his personal items or personal effects. And that, to me, seems to be quite outside what the proffer list of acceptable activities are. So it's for that reason that I think that we should uphold the zoning administrator's citation or determination, because that certainly wasn't what was intended for the property from the beginning when Mr. Sherrill purchased it.
Is that a motion?
That is not a motion.
No, that's
not,
just my explanation.
I'm sorry, I just want to make sure the record is clear when there's a motion.
No, that was not, I just wanted people to realize that we have something considered to consider on the board so far. If you would like to go ahead with your part.
Sure.
We're talking about the second piece of property. You want to speak?
Without reiterating all of the previous points, the fundamental determination is the same. It's use, not things on the property that are at issue here. And simply presenting a few photographs from a particular point in time that show things.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Let me stop you right here. Is it the same photographs that we have already seen for the last two months? Is it the same photographs that we have already seen before?
Well, the photographs that were introduced for the government, sir, were the ones that were presented back on January the 13th.
So we have already seen all of those photographs, is
yes,
that correct?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Is there a real reason that you want us to see those photographs again?
Oh, no, sir. No, perhaps I misspoke. What I'm saying is use is what the Board of Zoning Appeals is here to determine, not whether or not particular things on a property are desirable or not desirable. It's use. The question here is use. The only evidence that was presented on behalf of the government of use was the photographs that were taken at a particular point in time that are supposed to depict what it was that was alleged. Now remember, Mr. Sherrill is only here to answer for that which he has been charged in the zoning violation. And that was that it depicted a contractor storage yard. Contractor storage yard has a very specific definition, and I provided that using the fundamental tools available to the BZA.
Okay, if I remember correctly, the property that you have in Fort Union is, you can't have a storage yard on, I don't believe. Is that correct?
Two things. Contractor storage yard, no question. Contractor storage yard. It's not just storage yard generally. That's not what he's here to answer for. He's here to answer for having a contractor storage yard as a use. Not for just, there's no code, there's no law in the code that prevents people from having their own personal effects on personal and private property. It simply isn't prohibited. So it's contractor storage yard is what JWS Enterprises was brought to answer for.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stewart or Mr. Miller, would you take us through the citations of the code, please, for the sufficiency of the discussion here that's been brought before the appellate, please?
Mr. Miller?
It's on that, on his copy right there. I'd have to read it for you. Thank you.
Just review it, sir. I don't think I've got the entire code here, but cut and paste.
On this particular property.
Mr. Miller, did you want the zoning ordinance?
Well, I've got part of it, but I...
We're going to hear what the whole violation
if
says.
If we've got it...
You're talking about the zoning, the violation, not the zoning ordinance.
The ordinance says it's specific to the violations that are stated.
We have a copy of the zoning ordinance if you need to refer to it.
Again, I just want to be sure that we're on the right path, not outside the scope of where we need to be.
And this is referring to the zoning use permit that Mr. Sherrill requested. In regards to that approval, the property to be used for the following business districts, B1 uses only: bakeries, retail stores, office building, restaurants, agricultural supply, greenhouses, and nurseries operated on a commercial basis, printing plants and newspaper offices, feed and seed stores, one and two family dwellings, bed and breakfast or country inn, fitness center, and health club.
Is that what was proffered in the rezoning,
yes,
or that was what the proffers were?
Yes, it was.
That's what I thought.
That would pertain to 22-17-9.
Yes.
That is conditional rezoning. All right, so...
And the part that comprises, if I can backtrack just a little bit, the part that comprises the violation for which due process was given in, these uses require that a building or portion thereof be utilized for these activities associated with these uses. Hence, general outside storage of materials associated with this use. First question is, what use? With what use? General outside storage of materials associated with this use are not permitted by right. And it goes on to say, the general, this is underlined on page 2 of 2, the general outside storage of materials associated with this use, what use? What is the use that is prohibited here? With this use must be contained within a building or portion thereof, and the large transport trailers used for the purpose of storage of materials associated with this use must be removed from the property. If that's a violation, it needs to be in the code. It's not. It's just not. It's not in the code anywhere.
Well, according to the B1, he can't do what he's doing. He asked for the B1, I don't know what the year is here, 2005? Okay. To go from A1 to B1 with these proffers that he can only do these 10 things on that piece of property. So.
And remember, Ms. Eager, it doesn't say he must do those 10 things. It says those are permitted uses.
The only.
But that's what he gave up his right to do the others by proffering only these uses.
Yes.
So I don't, when I view his property in Fort Union, I don't see any of these uses being utilized on that property.
Retail, it was originally, the original intent was for a bakery.
Right.
The current intent is for retail. Retail has taken place. It is infrequent, but retail has taken place. And simply because he's not operating a full-time retail store, respectfully, does not mean that a person can't keep property.
Mr. Miller,
at that site.
I think it's similar to what the retail that's taken place at this property is a yard sale. Now, I can have a yard sale at my home, but that doesn't make my home a retail store. And that's it's not a retail store that's open 9 to 5 or,
sure,
you know. So there is a difference, I believe.
And I'll give you an analogy that I think is apt. You have a right to have a residence on your property. associated with that, you're permitted to keep certain items of personal property at your property.
At my residence,
yes. Yes, ma'am. And you don't have to live in that house. Every time you leave that house, every time you cease living in it, you don't have to immediately remove everything that you currently have there as personal property. We just don't go that deep into people's business or personal affairs. He is permitted to have his own, this is really, it's a case about stuff. He's permitted to have stuff. He's permitted to have things associated with any of these uses. Currently, the stuff that's on the property is associated with retail. He wants to sell those things. He wants to fully utilize it as a retail space. He's not required to simply give up his things because he can't operate a viable retail store right now.
Well, this building is falling down.
Ma'am?
The building is in disrepair, leaking badly. I mean,
so what?
I don't know that to be the case or not, but that would be a separate section of the code. I don't know if you have a maintenance code or not.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
So in testimony and in the record, we see two other uses that are discussed. One is a self-storage facility, and that's covered in a letter to Mr. Miller dated February 6, 2012. Signed by Mr. Sherrill, where he addresses a couple of things he may intend to do with the property. One is a self-storage facility. And in that context, a self-storage facility is stuff he stores for himself. Okay?
That's not the traditional
in
meaning,
my,
I think. But.
In my guess, in reading what he's saying, it's in quotes, a self-storage facility. But I look at the code of Fluvan, it says a structure containing separate individual and private storage spaces of varying sizes, leased or rented.
Right. It's not that.
He's not doing that, okay? So then we get to the issue of a studio or fine arts, which is not part of the proffered uses only, which is what the letter said, uses only from the county planner to Mr. Sherrill. And it says a building or portion thereof. The things that he's got, even if you store those things in a trailer, that's not a building or a portion thereof.
Again, that's not in the code. And if that was what the governing body intended, then it should be there.
Well, that's in the code under the definitions.
Under which part? Perhaps I'm missing.
Studio fine arts and self-storage facilities are all in the Fluvanna Code under the definitions section. That's where they come from.
Well, it's not being used as either of those, nor are the materials that are stored being used for either of those.
They may not be in use that way, but what we've been told in the record that's been provided and in testimony is that they are intended uses for the property that were not proffered originally. So, all due respect, I consider them out of bounds on the proffered uses of the property.
I understand the position. I do. I disagree with it, but the use is what the BZA has to determine, the use. And I will also say, from a due process point of view, were he here to answer for having a fine arts studio, you'd be right. Were he here to answer for having a self-storage facility, you would be right. He's here to answer for not having items on the property contained within a building or portion thereof, and large transport trailers used for the purpose of storage have to be removed. That's what he's here to answer for, not the other two things. That's it.
Well, let me ask you a question. At this particular time, is there a bakery there?
No, sir.
Is there a retail store there?
I would offer that there is.
Is there a retail store where the sign says we're open? Come in. Is there a retail store there?
It is not at this moment open for business, but I would say there is.
Is there an office building there?
Yes.
Is it being occupied or used?
Yes.
In what respect?
It's being used by JWS Enterprises. Try to build the retail on that site.
Is there a restaurant there?
No, sir.
It's not a bed and breakfast, there is.
No, sir.
Fitness center?
No, sir.
Okay, his office building that he's using, does that require those trailers to be there and him keep his to keep his stuff in? We'll call it stuff, whatever it is.
We would offer service by phone.
Don't answer that question, please.
Could you rephrase it again? I'm sorry.
You told me that he is using the building as an office building, right?
Yes.
My question is, the trailers that are sitting there, are they necessary for that office building, for him to run his office there?
They contain the property of JWS and Mr. Sherrill. I don't want to be cagey, but I also don't want to be dishonest. Is there a desk?
No, no, I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you if there was a desk.
Right.
You said you said it was a business there. And I'm asking, the point we're making is, he's got trailers sitting there that we feel like shouldn't be there, right? And you've just told me that we have an office building there that's being used as an office. And I'm asking you if what's in the trailers is necessary for his office in the building.
Maybe you should ask Mr. Sherrill. I've not been in the trailers.
I understood this was argument, not additional evidence.
Right.
And Mr. Sherrill's not entitled to argue the case.
Okay.
You have a question? I just want to say, sir, I've not been to the property. I've not been inside the building. I've not been inside the trailers. I know what's written on the page, and I know that it doesn't comport with law, and it doesn't indicate a use. That's all I know. Beyond that, I will say that it might not be the kind of office, sir, that you and I would expect, or certainly one in which I would locate my law firm. It might not be the retail kind of store that Mr. Sherrill would want or JWS Enterprises would want, I would want. But it is, in fact, Mr. Sherrill has made a diligent effort to try to use it for that purpose.
Right. Okay, the point I'm trying to determine is the trailers that are on the property, is there any reason that they should be there from the business that he's running on the property? That's the question.
In my opinion, the answer is yes, sir.
All right.
In my opinion.
Okay. The board, allow the board to have any questions?
I guess the only thing, Harold, in terms of what you were asking, was that in the proffers, it's an office building. I'm not sure that the fact that you have a personal office in a structure makes it an office building. So I'm not quite sure that having an office is definitive in making it an office building.
I'm back in the definitions again. Y'all excuse me.
Thank you.
For my own personal integrity, I want to clear something up. The only things I know for sure are based on my conversations with the officer of JWS Enterprises. I know that he has represented to me that he has slept there. He has represented to me that he has conducted business from there.
Okay.
I have seen pictures that indicate that is true. One of those pictures was provided for you. My own knowledge only goes that far. I'm not sure I could drive there tonight if I had to. And so I just want to make clear what I know,
right,
and what I don't.
Thank you.
Your definitions again.
Not gonna read it. I mean, we're kind of back into splitting hairs here, all due respect. And some of this is, you got to put your practical hat on, okay, and not try to split hairs around some of this stuff. It doesn't meet the proper uses.
Well, I agree.
And I think to say it does is taking a flying leap on some guys.
Even if you want to, if you haven't seen it, it's not an office building, but there's cardboard on the windows. There's the power seems to come from somewhere else, like an extension cord. I just don't consider that an office. I would rather sit in my car and conduct business. But I just don't think it's an office building. Or it shouldn't be. I wouldn't think that the building code would allow people to occupy the building. Haven't been inside, but from outside, it doesn't look very safe.
And that's where I put back on my lawyer hat and say the notice just simply doesn't fit the evidence. And perhaps there's something for which the county could charge him under the zoning ordinance, but it isn't this. It isn't the way that it's written.
Okay.
Well, I agree with the way I was on the planning commission when this came before the board and the commission and the board of supervisors. And I remember very clearly his wife presented this, that she was very interested in a bakery. And she proffered these, this, and it says only. So if he wanted to change these, he would have to go back through the process, go through the planning commission and the board to undo this or add other or change the zoning. But this doesn't fill what he's doing now.
I understand your point. Is it here?
Thanks.
Do you have any more?
No, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a couple comments on this?
Yes, sir.
In response. The issue here is one that I think that the board is getting at, but I'd like just to be, if I could, to clarify where that stands in terms of conventional zoning law. Mr. Mullen, with all due respect, is wrong about this notice. What this notice says is it lists the 10 uses that are permitted under the proffer, and then says these uses require that a building or portion thereof be utilized for the activities associated with these uses. Hence, general outside storage of materials associated with this use and or large transport trailers used for purposes of storage of materials associated with this use are not permitted. It's perfectly clear what the intent of this determination is, and Mr. Mullen's statement that he didn't get that this doesn't give JWS fair notice of it is simply wrong. Anybody who can read the English language understands what this charge is. The principle that I think you need to understand to get where I think you're going, because I think you're on the right track, but the principle you need to consider is that of what is a primary use and what's an accessory use. Now, Mr. Mullen is right. If you go to your home, as Mrs. Eager said, you go to your home, then you take your personal, you know, and you clean out your attic and you have a yard sale. The yard sale is not a commercial use. It's an accessory use to the home. And I think Mr. Mullen said you leave home, that doesn't stop you from being able to store your personal property there. That's true if you're going to if you're going on a visit or something like that. If you move out of that house and the house is vacant, then you're not entitled to treat it as a storage facility, because then the storage is not accessory to the residential use, because there is no residential use. And this is not talking about being away for the weekend. This is you're not living there anymore. That's the analogy that he picked, and that's where I would apply it to this principle. The concept here is that, and I think the chairman was getting at this, let's assume that there's an office use there. I'm just assuming that for discussion, because I think Mrs. Eager's right. It's obvious there is no office use there. But even if there is, the storage has to be accessory to that use. And that means it's necessarily secondary and incidental and located on the same property. Now, what again, with all due respect to Mr. Mullen, if you recall what Mr. Sherrill said that what's in those trailers, as I recall his statement, what's in those trailers is, he used the term, my personal property. And he referred to it, excuse me, if I'm remembering correctly, as family things, heirlooms and such, that sort of thing. That's in no way incidental to an office use. That's purely personal, and it's purely storage. This is exactly, I think, what Mr. Loving was getting at, is it's as if you went to a self-storage unit, rented the unit, and took your heirloom property and put it in there. That's not an office use. It's not a residential use. It's not a bed and breakfast. It's not a bakery. It's a self-storage use that's a separate use, and it's not permitted in this district. Now, all of these other things, if you recall, everything that's on this property, there were apparently inoperable vehicles. There was what I could only characterize as junk. There were barrels and buckets with tops on them. Nobody knew what was in them. And I don't think Mr. Sherrill even remembered what was in them. He did, I don't remember saying that there was anything in them. The concept that this is a retail use, if I went out on the side of the road, whether it was on property outside the right-of-way or whatever, and put up a sign saying yard sale today, that's not a retail use. It's simply an occasional sale of personal property. That's not a retail use. So what I'm getting at is, in the B1 district, it is permitted to have storage uses with the appropriate legislation. So if you had a general B1 use and a special use permit, you could have a storage unit on here, and it would make a difference. Now, there is one other thing that nobody's mentioned, and that is there would also have to be a site plan. And the site plan, as Mrs. Eager well knows from being on the commission for so long, a site plan is going to control all these uses of how much parking you have to have, where the access is, lighting, sewer and water potentially, if you had an occupied building, all of those things. And there's no evidence there's a site plan here, and I think Mrs. Eager will tell you, since she's been on the Planning Commission, there's never been a site plan for this problem.
That's correct.
So to say that this is a use of one of these things, like the ones I heard Mr. Mullen say, is a retail store, an office building, and trailers necessary for the office use. None of those exist here. This is a purely casual use, and I think Cheryl's comment was, I think I wrote this down because it was such a significant statement. I'm my own best customer. This is not a retail store, and it's not an office use. It is not any of the permitted uses, and these things are not accessory. And the reason they're not is because they're not accessory to. There is no primary use to which they can be necessarily second, subordinate, and incidental. That's the definition of accessory use. So that's the issue here. He's had plenty of notice of that, and I think the board has a good handle on it. I just wanted to try to clear up some of the nomenclature.
Thank you. You have any more questions?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you.
All right.
Harold, one comment that I think ties in with what our county attorney has clarified, and that's that under any of the proper possibilities for the property, all of these personal items that are stored, and not all the trailers, but in some of them, don't fit any of those. And therefore, in the very least, they're in violation. In the very least. So my feeling is that we should uphold the administrator's determination as being correct on this piece of property.
If I could ask for clarity. You had also sought to modify in the previous case, and I'll ask here, is there any particular form of the remedial steps that you believe are appropriate, which are and which are not? Simply the only directive by the notice was materials associated with this use must be contained within a building or portion thereof, and the large transport trailers used for purposes of storage of material associated with this use must be removed from the property. I still have the question, which use is this?
Any what he's referred to is any of the uses in the property list. And so they at least at this point in time, fit none of those 10 items.
Mr. Chairman, can I bring up a procedural issue? The board needs to speak with one voice, and it speaks through its actions, which are motion, second, and vote. And I don't think it's appropriate for the appellant to be asking the board what it thinks ought to be done. The decision for the board is whether the zoning administrator is correct or not. If the board has suggestions, certainly the zoning administrator would hear those, but that's not part of this decision.
We agree with you, Fred, but we also would like, which I think is the aim of the county, to find out how to get compliance in violated issues.
I would say, I want to make this perfectly clear. The only thing the county wants done is to have these violations gone. And if they're gone, then everybody go about his business. The county's been trying to do that. But my point about this is that if there's a record, if there's an appeal, it goes up on the record what you say. And it's what the court will have to view is what your action is. And the action is of all four members, however the vote comes down, it's of all four members based on a motion and a second, and then a vote on that. And I would strongly suggest that the way to handle that would be for the board to entertain a motion, whatever that motion might be, have that seconded, and then vote on it. If you need more than one motion, more than one second, all that sort of thing, that's fine. But
so you would like us to hold our suggestions till after that vote?
Well,
is that what I'm hearing?
What the issue needs to be whether the decision was correct or not. If you want to modify the decision, I'm not saying I heard you say that, but the statute is pretty clear that as to what your powers are, in exercising your powers, you may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify. So if you want to make suggestions, they are that, just that. And I would suggest that you should act on the determination either to affirm it, reverse it in whole or in part, or modify it. Anything else is in the nature of a suggestion.
Yeah, I would agree. I haven't made a motion. I'm only interested in addressing the idea that we would like to see that property cleaned up. We would like to see it have a good business use for the county. Those are things that we would like, and I think everybody on this board has said that at one time or another. So that's what we would like. And I think that the county should do what it can to assist that goal. That's my suggestion.
I will tell you, Dr. Von Keisling, that that's the county's objective too.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do the county any good to have a property that's not being used for valuable uses. The county wants that done.
And so in answer to what should be done, that's what I suggest. Clean it up, figure out either by revising the proper uses through the normal channels or whatever, but let's turn it into a good property for the county. And the county shouldn't be refusing help. It should be doing what it normally does for business development to help that out. So that's in answer to your question. That's my opinion of it. But now I think we could come to a motion.
All right. Would you like to make a motion to that effect? What you have written there is perfect. If you want to use that as a motion.
Okay. Well, I'm told I have to use the word affirm. So I make a motion we affirm the county administrator's determination in 1403 and that the resolution of subsequent issues is up to the county and the appellant to deal with.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. 4-0. Any other questions?
Thank you, sir. You led us well through this.
I thank everybody for showing up tonight. We really appreciate your help. And after only 3 months, we were able to finish this, right?
Yeah, Jason, try not to give us any more of these right away.
We have new cases for March, right?
You have a new one for March?
No, we have no cases for March. We thought we were going to have one, but we don't.
Okay, so we get March off.
Mr. Chairman, just there's nothing to do with this case, but just to give you a little perspective, last month I was in the Board of Zoning Appeals for Green County, and they were reviewing the work they've done before, and they don't visit every month either. don't think you're being,
No, no, I think it's wonderful.
Sort of the nature of the business at Rural County.
I'm ready to be adjourned, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second? So moved.
Thank you.
Stay adjourned.
And Dr. McKinnon, I want to thank you very much for your patience. Thank you very much.
Appreciate everybody.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'd love to touch with you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
You have a whole room set aside.
That was a great idea.